lot of people in our nation, they go through identity crisis. You know, some don't even know who they are anymore. I mean, even when we talk about our own nation, American nation, we don't even know what America, what it means to be American anymore. There's so many things out there. You know, it just, people might not be happy with who they are. And, you know, sometimes they spend tons of money trying to beautify themselves. And you know, and just like they struggle with that. They struggle with who they are. They struggle with their own identity. For a lot of people, their identity is tied to their jobs. The identity, who they are, might be tied to their spouse or to a career, a title. You know, they will introduce themselves, I'm Dr. Smith, or that's who they are. And the moment they lose that job, they feel that they don't have an identity anymore, and they don't know what to do. It's like Inigo Montoya in the movie Princess Bride, when all he wanted to do was find the man with the six finger. When he found it, he said at the end of the movie, like, I found it, and I killed him. I don't know what else to do. Because all he wanted in life was to accomplish that. And for a lot of people, that's what their identity is all about. Who I am. For people, like I said, it's tied up to a look, money, sexual preferences. That's what you hear a lot in our nation. Like, this is who I am. But sometimes they have no idea, really, truly, who they are. Like I say, if your identity is tied up to your spouse, the moment your spouse is out of the picture, you had no idea what to do. And you feel like hopeless. We're talking about clueless because, you know, when people say, well, she's my world, or she's like this song, I think it was Boys to Men that says, you know, I will make you my world, heaven and earth, if you are my girl. The moment that girl is out of the picture, your heaven and earth is gone too. And then people just like, you know, it's like they don't know what to do because all their lives, their identity, who they were, was tied to that thing. And you know, everything we have in this life, we know is temporary. It's like Matt talking about the anchor. It's gonna fade away eventually, if that was your identity. I love that movie, The Bourne Identity. Some of you have seen it. There's a new one coming.
Oh yeah.
Jason Bourne, played by Matt Damon. You know, all through the movie, all he wants to find out really, truly, who he was because he doesn't know. He had this set of skills that can kill a whole bunch of people just without any weapons, but he doesn't know why. And he opens a briefcase and there's so many passports with his pictures, but with many names. It's like, who am I really? So many movies about him. And let me see if I have the next slide. I mean, one of the scenes that I love is he's sitting talking to this girl at a bar. And he says, I can tell the license plate numbers of all six cars outside. He says, I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting up at the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun in the cab of the great truck outside. And at this altitude, I can run flat out for half a mile before my hands start shaking. He knows all that, but he doesn't even know who he is. And he sounds like, but I don't know who I am. He says in the movie, I got the skills, but I don't know why. I don't even know who I am. That's an identity crisis. And perhaps some of you are there today. You don't truly know who you are. We all have gone through that one time in our lives, that we suffer from identity crisis. I know a woman and her husband and their kids. She grew up going to this church. I mean, the mom and dad, they were in that church for so long. But she felt that she did not want to be known as the daughter of X and Y. She felt that if I stay in that church, people just going to know me by the daughter of that family. So she decided to move and go to a different church because she wanted to find herself. She wanted to be there and find her own identity as a family. Being known in that church that did not know her, but just like that, they know me for who I am, not because I belong to mom and dad. For some people, their identity is tied to their parents. I am who I am because they. Sometimes even our own faith, we have a faith because our parents instructed us, but we have not even made it ours. You see, identity crisis can lead people to hopelessness, anxiety, depression. And for some, it could even lead to suicide. See, this is not new in the Bible. In the Bible, there were a lot of people that struggled with identity crisis. But once they got over that issue they had, God utilized it mightily in a very powerful way. But many great prophets suffered from that. I mean, Elijah became suicidal one time. Now the man of God that can pray for fire from heaven and fire will come, later on he forgot who he was. There was a man in the Bible. He was a Jew, or he was raised an Egyptian. He knew everything about the Egyptian, the culture, the language. He knew exactly what it meant to be a prince of Egypt. He was raised as a prince. He did not know much about the Egyptian, just that his mom and dad, some of the relatives were, and he was raised at an early age by his mom. But then Pharaoh's daughter took him, and he was raised as an Egyptian. However, one day he went to check out on the Hebrews, because he knew that there were a lot of Hebrews people in the country of Egypt. They were all being enslaved. He went to check on them, and one Egyptian was mistreating one of the Hebrew. He ended up defending the Hebrew, killed the Egyptian, and buried him in the sand. And then later on, Pharaoh found out, and Pharaoh was looking for him to kill him. And Moses, that's his name, he decided to run away. And when you look at his life, from a Hebrew boy to a prince of Egypt, now to a fugitive. See, for a lot of people, identity, sometimes who they are, they think like, well, I am who I am because of the past. If my dad was an alcoholic, you see, I'm alcoholic today because of that. And their identity is based on their past. And sometimes they cannot move forward because that's who they are. That's what they think they are. Moses struggled with that. So Moses, I mean, even though he was Hebrew, he ran away to a land that wasn't even Israelite. He went to Saudi Arabia, Midian. And there he decided to start over. You know, like how we go through life and then you come to a point and say, you know what, forget about the past. I'm just going to start over. I want to move somewhere that nobody knows me, and I'm just going to settle down there and start over. That's what Moses wanted to do. And he did. He went to Midian right there, found a wife, got married, and had a son whom he named Gershom. And the name of the song means, I have become an alien in a foreign land. That's what Moses thought of himself. I mean, every time Moses would look at his son, he was saying like, yep, you remind me, I'm an alien in a foreign land. He named the son that. So every time he would call Gershom, he was really saying, I'm an alien in a foreign land. That's what the name meant. So he named that kid because of what he was going through in life. So he's right there. He's like 80 years old. He's taking care of his father. He became a shepherd. He's taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He's tending them. And one day Moses had an encounter with God. Now remember, he did not know much about the God of the Hebrews. Even though his lineage was Hebrew, he had no idea who this God was that the Hebrew people talked about. And perhaps his mom used to tell him as she was recalling stories. In chapter 3 of Exodus, we got this encounter with Moses talking with God. And God introduced himself to Moses right there in the land of Midian. So if you have your Bibles with you, because that's so important, when you look at the dialogue, you look at the conversation between God and Moses, there are two fundamental questions that you and I need to wrestle with today. Two foundational questions that have to do and will help us determine really our identity, who we are. Exodus, that's the second book in the Bible. If you got your devices, you can just type it up right there. So God comes down to meet with Moses to introduce himself, to let him know who he is, and also to appoint Moses for a mission. In Exodus chapter 3, you pick it up in verse 1, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came up to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? Why the bush is on fire but it's not consumed? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And there's a lot of ites, in case you didn't. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So God comes down. He catches Moses' attention with his burning bush. He said, well, that's strange. That thing been on fire for a while, but still on fire. It's not consuming. That's wood. Wood should eventually consume. He goes, check it out. God calls him. He said, Moses, right now this place becomes holy because I just came down here. And God introduced himself to Moses. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham. Moses knew the ancestor, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And your father and mother, I am their God. You did not know me, but now I'm here. I'm their God. God met with Moses, and then, like I said, he introduced himself, and now he's going to commission him to do something. Verse 10, he says, now, after he told them why he was concerned about the Israelites in Egypt, I want to get you, freed you, and bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey, a spacious land, prosperous land. And then he said, now go, I'm sending you to Egypt. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, the first question that you and I need to wrestle with is what Moses told God. When God told him that, verse 10, Moses said, but who am I that I should go to Egypt? Who am I that I should go back to Pharaoh? Remember, Moses lived that 40 years ago. He lived when he was 40. Now he's 80. And now God tell him, go back to the past that you left behind. Many of us don't want to go back to that past that we left behind because it might be dirty and nasty. We don't want it. Moses was already content where he was at. And now God's telling them, you got to go back to where you fled from. I'm sending you there. I mean, sometimes we don't like that from God because he's sending us to places that we might be a little, or maybe a lot, uncomfortable. And Moses, who am I? I mean, really, the who am I of Moses, what he's saying is, like, I'm nobody. You have no idea who I am. I mean, again, he's talking to God, but he doesn't know this guy. He said, really, I'm a fugitive. That my son reminds me that. I'm an alien in a foreign land. That's who I am. I'm nobody. And when you read the story, Moses later on comes up with so many excuses. I don't even have speech. I cannot even talk because I stutter. I'm nobody. In other words, who am I of Moses? He's telling God, you got the wrong man for the job. I can do it. You got to find somebody else. Who am I? You know, perhaps a lot of us go through that. You know, the who am I, the abilities. I don't have any abilities. Jason Bourne felt it. I don't even know who I am. You see, how you respond to that question says a lot about you. When somebody says, who are you? People will say, well, I'm Dr. Smith. Or I'm so-and-so. Or I'm the daughter of the president. That's your identity right there. When somebody asks you, who are you? And you bring your career, whatever it is. How you respond to that question says a lot about you. It tells us, I mean, really, your identity. It tells us where you're building your identity upon. How you respond to that, it tells upon which you have built your identity. It tells us whether you have an identity crisis or not. How you respond when somebody says, who are you? And you still struggle, say like, well, I'm just the son of him. I'm just with him or her. It's like, so you see, you and I need to wrestle with that. Who are you, really? Because if we don't know how to answer that question, then we do have an identity crisis in our own lives. When Moses told God, who am I? He was really saying, I'm nobody. When you and I are not sure, when you're not sure in life who you are, perhaps you need to pay attention to what God told Moses here. When Moses said, who am I? If you don't know who you are, perhaps you need to hear God say this to you. God said to Moses, I will be with you. Let's read that part when verse 10, it says, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Now, you see, I will be with you. Moses had no idea what that meant because he had not dealt with this God. He doesn't know God yet. He heard mom and dad talk about this guy, but I never met him personally. I don't even know who he is. And now he's sending me to do a job that I'm not capable of doing because I'm not qualified. I'm really weak. I'm not brave enough, strong enough, beautiful enough to go back to Pharaoh. I just left from there. I don't want to go back there. And this guy comes to me and tell me, and he's sending me back. And all he says, I will be with you. What does that actually mean? You see, the whole idea that God says, I'll be with you, let me just not sugarcoat it for you, let me just give it to you. That should make all the difference in the whole world. The moment that just God says, I will be with you, no matter what you go through, that should make the difference. We should not even be talking anymore about, period. If he's with us, I mean, Chris Tomlin says, if our God is with us, who can come against us? But Moses didn't know that. First time Moses and God got to talk. This is the first time, chapter 3 in Exodus. He did not know the God of the Hebrews the first time, and he did not even get to see his face, just a burning bush and a voice calling and saying things. And you hear his face because, like, well, God's there, so I don't even, you know, the reverence of God, because he was raised like that as a Jewish individual, Jewish person. Moses did not know much of what those words really meant, because he had not dealing with the God of the Hebrews. Now, Francis Chan had a quote. He said this, from the very beginning, God's people are known as those whose God is with them. We belong to Him, and there is no way that we can define ourselves apart from God. It is His presence in us that enables us to accomplish the tasks He gives us. From the very beginning, Jewish people were known as God's people. Even the enemies knew when they came to attack the Israelites, they said, they have a great God, so don't mess with Israel. You mess with Israel, you're messing with God. They knew because God said, I will be with you. How many times God told even Joshua, be strong and courageous, I will be with you, and no one will be able to come against you because I'm with you. Moses had no idea what I will be with you meant. Oh, he says, like, who am I? But God said, I'm with you. Moses apparently wanted more evidence of God at that moment. So the Jewish people were known as the children of God. They belonged to God. God fought their fight. I mean, God opened the Red Sea for them so that the enemies could not come against the Israelites because God was there. It was the presence that distinguished them from all the other peoples and ethnic groups of the world. Because God said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I love, God talks about Israel as the apple of my eye, he talks about. And he also said to the Israelites, you are my treasure possession. I mean, that's like, wow. Can you imagine being the treasure possession of God? He said, this is my child. So from the moment, the Jewish people, that's what they believed, and they knew that was their God, Yahweh. Elohim, the Lord, Almighty. But Moses did not know. Moses didn't know much about this God or the ancestor. He didn't know much what he meant to belong to God. He did not know what he meant to be Jewish, for goodness sakes. You see, who am I? That was the question that we wrestled with. Then we need to also wrestle with the other question of who is God? Because you see, Moses later on asked that when they continued talking. Verse 12, God said, I will be with you and this will be a sign. God even gave him evidence. He gave him a sign. He said this, there will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. God already predetermined what was going to happen. Moses didn't get it. That's what people call predestination. God said, when you have gone and come back, we're going to meet here in this mountain. And you're going to worship me. The same mountain that later on Moses went to get the tablets, the Ten Commandments. That's the mountain here we're talking about. God said, when you have gone and come back with my people, you're going to worship me on this mountain. And apparently that wasn't enough for Moses. He just didn't want to go. And finally, he told God that later on. Then you worship me on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose, this is where he started talking and tried to negotiate with God. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And what if they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to tell the Israelites. I am has sent you. That's the second question you and I need to wrestle with. Who is God? Who is this God that we profess to worship? Who is this God that we worship? Who is he? I mean, Moses asked that. He asked the first one, who am I? And now, but who are you? Who is this God? You see, God introduced himself to Moses with his personal name here. See, God, when the Bible talks about in the beginning, God created, the word for God there is the word Elohim, the creator. Here, he's going to use another name. The one that we know more than 600 times through the Old Testament, the word Yahweh, which means I am who I am. Because I am who I am. If you got a different translation, the word, it would say Jehovah, it would say Yahweh, it would say the Lord, all caps. That's the word here that we have, the Lord. The Lord, that's his name. The unchanging one, the creator of the universe. Now, it took Moses a long time. I'm talking about a long time to really get to know God. I mean, right now, he's just, what if they ask me for your name? What am I going to tell him? I am who I am, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. And this that's what it is. God's personal name, which appears more than 600 times in the Old Testament. Every time you hear the word Lord capitalized in your NIV, that's the word, I am. If the word Lord is only have capital L, it's another name for God, Adonai. But when it's all caps, it's the word, the old King James Version will have it, Jehovah. Just like, that's a made-up name from Yahweh, because for the Jewish people, that was called the unpronounced name of God. It didn't have vowels. You cannot pronounce it. It was just like, Yah. And when the Jewish people wrote the Bible, every time they came to that name, they would switch pen. That's how much reverence they have for that name, because they said, I don't want to mess up. Like, oh, we came to that name. So can you imagine 600 times you have to switch pen? At least, every time you came to that name, because for them, that was so revered. That was the fear of the Lord. God, I'm going to write his name now on this manuscript. And they will switch. Can you imagine? I mean, look at the reverence they have for that name. And today, we just read it, we just ignore it. We don't care much about it. But it's like, and that's the name God told Moses. Tell him, I am, has sent you. And that should make all the difference in the world. I'm here on behalf of I am. I'm here not on behalf of the president or the nation. I'm here on behalf of God, the great I am. But it took Moses a lot of years for him to get it, who God was. I mean, later on when you go to Exodus 33, by then Moses got it. By then Moses knew also who he was, and he also knew who God was. In chapter 33, God was so angry with the Israelites because they're misbehaving kids. God calls them stiff-necked people. And the Israelites, God finally had it with Moses and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you an angel. An angel is going to go with you, but I'm not going. Now, for some of us, like, oh yeah, send me an angel. I'll be happy. I mean, can you imagine God saying, I'm going to send you an angel to go with you, but I'm not going. Remember, God already has said to Moses, I will be with you. Remember what we read? Chapter 33, something happened with the Israelites and the dealing with Moses. I mean, they're already back. He already gone, come back. They're traveling through the wilderness, chapter 33. God's being fighting their battles. He fed them the bread of life, manna. He got water from a rock. And you know, there was poisonous snakes at one time. And Moses built this snake and put him over there, and people got healed. I mean, they seen God at work all through the land. But then chapter 33 comes, and the Israelites misbehave again. And God said, you know what? I'm going to give you an angel. And he will guide you. And Moses said, no, thank you very much. I don't want an angel. If you're not going, I'm not moving. It's a different Moses. I just want to read it for you. Chapter 33, this is what's going on. Exodus 33, verse 15. Then Moses said to him, to Yahweh, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else? Check this out. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people of the face of the earth? You know what distinguishes the Israelites? God's presence, because he is with us. Moses says, if you're not going with us, don't move me. I'm not going. That's a different Moses now. He finally got to know who he was and who God truly is. Moses finally found his true identity in the Lord. That's why you and I need to find our identity as well. Not in our jobs, not in our spouses or even our own kids. We have to find our identity, who we truly are in God, because that's unchanging. What we have today might change tomorrow. If your identity is going to be built on a political candidate that you think that your hopes and dreams are going to be realized because of him or her, I feel sorry for you right now. Your identity has to be known, has to be found in God alone. You see, if you are a Christian and you still struggle with who you are, you need to be reminded that you are a child of God. That's what Moses needed to be reminded. You see, there's a king named Saul. One time, he had a headache for 40 days. And the headache's name was Goliath. This giant would come and challenge him. And he was shaking in his boots. As a king of Israel, mind you, the God's children, he did not know what to do with this problem. And everybody in the whole army was shaking in their boots, because this Goliath was so huge, and they saw how tall he was. And he said, give me a man. If he beats me, we'll be your slave. But if I beat him, you guys be our slave. Nobody in the camp. And then finally, one young boy named David shows up. And he could not believe what Goliath was saying. Goliath was like, aren't you the servant of Saul? Come on, give me a man. And David said, like, nobody's going to go fight him? What's wrong with you people? This is my translation. And he says, really, what's wrong with you people? It's like, he doesn't know who he's messing with. I go and fight him. And everybody's like, you're just a shepherd boy, man. You don't get it. He's been a fighting champion for all his life, and you only take care of sheep. I mean, statistically speaking, he's a champion. It's like you trying to play baseball against the Yankees, and you never play baseball. That's really why, equivalent to that. I mean, really, there's no way you can do it. And David said, you know, I go and fight him, because this uncircumcised Philistine, he doesn't know that he's messing with the army of God. The only one that had an identity in that scenario was David. Everybody else was like, they forgot who they belong to. They forgot that Yahweh fights your battle. David went and overcame and became the second greatest king. I mean, the greatest king, but he was the second king of the nation of Israel. But he was the greatest because he always knew who he was. That's why he will say to you and write a psalm, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. And yet I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I fear no evil because he is with me. And that should make all the difference. That's who I belong to. He is my God. And that's my identity. That is my identity. She's going to say God in a moment. You know, just like you and I need to find ourselves in God. He has to be our identity. You see, you and I cannot define ourselves apart from God. I mean, you can try, but eventually that's going to fade away, and then you're going to be like, identity crisis is going to hit. Paul said this, that in God, in Acts 17, he's talking to a whole bunch of philosophers, and he says, in God, we live, in Him we live and move and have our being. Who we are today is because of God. Who you are is because of Him. And you cannot define yourself apart from Him. He is your true identity. He is the source of your identity. The one that will never fade away. Moses finally got it. That's why he said, no, I don't want an angel. If you're not going, we're not moving. I'm not moving these people. We're here. Moses saying, God, the reason we're here is because you came all the way with us. And now you want to give me an angel? Thank you very much. I pass. If you're not going, don't tell me. Because they say, how else can people distinguish us as your people unless your presence go with us? I love the song, Your Presence, Lord. You know, it's like that's what distinguishes us from all the other nations of the world, that we are your people and you are our God. Whoever you think you are right now, if it's not built upon God, then it will be a matter of time when you're going to have an identity crisis. Whoever you think you are right now, whatever it is you're struggling with, if that is not based upon God, it just be a matter of time until you're going to have an identity crisis. And you're going to be like, I have no idea who I am. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, one of the things that we discussed with the men's meeting, he says that if you are in Christ, listen to that, in Christ, that's your identity now for Christians. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all this is from God. You see, that's really our identity. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ. We are who we are because of Him. But you know, sometimes we still struggle, even though we're Christians, just like the Israelites. God's chosen people. Their soul struggling like 40 days, like He didn't know what to do. He had forgotten who He was and to whom He belonged. The moment you and I come to Christ, He gives us a new identity. That's what the Bible calls a new birth. You know, we need to be reborn again. And that's the new you now. The preposition in, so many times in the Bible, you're in Christ. If anybody is in Christ, and now there is no condemnation or judgment for those who are in Christ. In other words, let me translate it for you. There's no condemnation for those whose identity is in Christ. In order for you to not be condemned, your identity has to be found in Jesus. Because if it ain't, then there'd be condemnation for you. In all of those, you are children of God because you were baptized into Christ, in Jesus. I mean, that's our new identity. That's why Paul says to the Corinthians, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. And that's who we are because of him. Christian, let me define the word Christian for you. Christ in. Christian is somebody whose identity is in Christ. You know, in our society, people say, well, I'm a Christian, and they don't even know who Jesus is. Really? I don't need to judge you. I mean, if you're a Christian, you don't know who Jesus is, but you ain't a Christian. Because Christian is somebody whose identity is in Christ. You got to know who this Christ is. You know, and today we throw the word Christians. You know, everybody's a Christian. I mean, we got Christian bookstores and we got Christian music. It's almost like Christian is a genre now. Christian should be your identity. You know, Peter said, rejoice that you suffer as a Christian because you carry that name. Wow, that's deep. It's like, because that's who you are now in Christ. But you know, in our society, we don't even know what a Christian is. I mean, some people's like, well, I'm a Christian. It's like, but yeah, you go to church twice a year and you're a Christian. People call nominal Christian because the only Christians by name. But in the Bible, when somebody was a Christian, it was always somebody who was baptized into Jesus, was a disciple of Christ. Acts 11:26, it says, the disciples were given the name Christians for the first time. And why? Because all about their life was about Christ. All they talked about was this Christ. And people could see Christ through them. I mean, there was no way that you can tell they're Christian. You know, it's like identity is your ID. They didn't have to show up. It's like, oh, hi, I'm a Christian. They knew it by how they behaved, how they lived their lives. And that's what the seculars gave in the name Christians, all about Christ. Even the religious leaders, one time, they're accusing them. And finally, they say, you know what? We have to admit, these men have been with Jesus. Even by how they talk. That's an identity. Now, can people see Christ in you? Not because you're wearing a t-shirt and say, I'm a Christian. Well, can they see Jesus in how you love people, how you serve, how you conduct yourself when somebody just cuts you off on the road. Sometimes. Sometimes I might lose my identity when that happens to me. At that moment, it's almost like I forget about it. I was like, and then I have a GPS next to me that says, like, let it go. It's like, you know what? Because, you know, some of that's going to be a struggle. Sometimes, like, some of the identity wants to come out because somebody made you angry. And you and I need to be reminded, we belong to the King. We belong to Him. And we operate by different standard. But you know how many times you and I are going to struggle with that? Like, you know, it's like, I'm a new creation now. There's a different way. The Christian truly is someone who is in Christ. Someone who finds his of her identity in Jesus Christ. Now, your struggle with identity will go away once you get to know God very well. You hear what I said? If you struggle with identity crisis, it will go away once you get to know God very well. Look at what happened to Moses. At the beginning, he had no idea who this God is. He did not want to go because he didn't know. Chapter 33, he says, don't send me away. You're not going with me. I'm going with you. You don't want to have identity crisis in your life? Get to know Him better. The moment you get to know Christ, God, better, the better you're going to know yourself. That's what happened to Moses. See, when you don't know who you are, and let me just give it to you right here. When you don't know truly who you are as a Christian, like we talked about in the men's meeting, say, why is it that I'm a Christian? I'm supposed to be a new creation, but I don't feel like a new creation. I mean, I got so many things in this life, and the Bible tells me that I'm a new creation, but I just don't feel like one. You know why? Because sometimes we forget. And the other time is, if you don't feel like a new creation, and you don't know who you are, it's because you don't know God very well. Now, that might be harsh for some of you. As a Christian, if you don't know who you are, it's because you don't know God very well. I mean, that's what happened to Saul. David is the one that had to come and remind him. Now, when you know God more fully, you will also know yourself. You know what I'm saying? When you get to know God more fully, then you're going to truly find yourself in Him. I mean, all through the Bible, it's all about you get to know the Lord. He wants people to get to know Him, because the more that you know Him, it's going to change your prayer life. Everything about you will change once you get to know this God better. But sometimes we don't want to know Him better. And we wonder why we lose our identity all the time. When you don't know who you are as a Christian, at that moment, you're thinking about something else or somebody else but the source of your identity, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Get to know God more fully. Get to know Him better. And then you're going to better know yourself. You will not be wrestling with identity crisis the moment that you realize, you see, I am who I am because of Him, not even because of my dad. You see, I was born in the church, but that doesn't make me a Christian. My dad's been a preacher for 45 years now, but that does not make me a Christian. I'm not going to heaven because of my dad. My identity is not built on my father. My identity is built on Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can take me there. You don't go to heaven because you were raised in that religion. You, all your life, you were raised, my great, 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 great grandma, that's what they told me. You're not going there. Your identity should not be built on your great, great, when it comes to heaven. They're not going to get you there. God is. Jesus Christ is. I'm thinking about Caesar, you know, his mom taught him Jesus. That was her identity. Now, his identity is going to be Christ too. And he can teach that to his kids, because his kids cannot build his identity just on that. When it comes to Christ, because that might be gone tomorrow. And then what happened to your identity? That's why you and I need to build our identity on Christ. And if we forget, and if we feel like we're not a new creation, it's because we have not known this God very well. Our job, as long as we live, is get to know Him better. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. No wonder he was so crazy. He says, to me to live is Christ. And if I die, it's gain. Can you and I say that? I mean, Paul, for some people, he'd be a crazy dude. Because, like, how can you say you're going to live your life just for Christ? And if you die, you're happy? He said, if I'm going to live the passage that Karen read, if I'm going to live in this body, I'm going to do it for Him. Because all I am is really because of Him. Mark has I'm alive because He lives. I am who I am. So, my brothers and sisters, that's where you have to build your identity. Not on your job. Yes, your job is good, but don't just think that that's all there is. Your identity, who you truly are, needs to be found in the source of the true identity, that's Jesus Christ. Even when you don't feel like it, just get to know Him. The more you know Him, the less you're going to struggle with identity crisis. Look at David. So many people that have struggles, but once they got to find out, they realized, I found myself in You, because You are the source. In You I move, in You I live, in You I have my being, who I am, because of You. No more identity crisis once you get to know Jesus that well. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get to know Him better, because, you know, when the struggles will come, which they will, I realize I can do this, because I'm not going by myself. I can fight this battle. I'm not fighting it alone. You know, people try to challenge me. I said, you're challenging me, but, you know, I got one greater. I'm not going to fight alone. Great is He that's in me, that the one that you have, than the one that is in the world.